Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Thank you for listening to AFR. I'm Tim Wildman with Walker Wildman. Good morning, Walker.
Good morning. Glad to be on the show.
Dr. Ray Pritchard joins us from Kansas City. Good morning, Ray.
Good morning, Tim. How you doing?
Doing well. Weather there is pretty bad, huh?
We're in the middle of this weather system that has brought torrential rains and Noah's flood and tornadoes and wild winds. You know, a lot of the worst of it is in East Texas and Oklahoma, but we're kind of sitting up here on the top end, and it's been raining here for hours and hours.
Really?
So,
is it starting to flood then?
Yeah, it is. And no golf today, Tim.
No,
no, no golf here
okay.
in Kansas City.
Okay. Now, are you going to be able to ride your bike today? Or
The only way I'm going to do that is go down to the basement and get on our stationary.
Oh, gotcha.
Gotcha.
And Fred Jackson, good morning, Fred.
Good morning. Yeah, that's what Ray is talking about is a big story today. This morning at Tulsa Airport, there was a tornado there. Obviously, kept all the flights on the ground. And I-40, one of the busiest interstates in the country, was shut down at least for a while just west of Oklahoma City. So,
because of a tornado or flooding?
Well, flooding. Flooding, okay. Like Ray is talking about. So you've got Tornado Alley is earning its reputation today. Mm-hmm. Let's put it that way.
Mm-hmm. Walker, tell folks how they can watch the show.
Yes, you can watch the show, watch the radio show on Facebook and YouTube. Just type in our show name, Today's Issues, Facebook, YouTube, watch the show there. Also, you can download the American Family Radio app on your smartphone, tablet device. It's actually a great way, and Ray knows this when he travels even outside the country, a great way to listen to AFR on the app and catch past shows.
I hate to be selfish, but I've got to look. Is that weather coming to us?
No,
I don't think so.
Nope.
Okay,
I think more toward the Midwest, probably.
Probably going up to Kentucky that way.
Yes, eventually, yeah. Yeah, just today, it's rough in Missouri, Arkansas, and Oklahoma, which is pretty bad.
Well, springtime is, the collision between the Gulf moisture in the Canadian air, and it clashes over the heartland.
Makes a mess.
That's why Tornado Alley is what it is. Kansas, Oklahoma, Arkansas, Texas, and into the South. All right, so a lot to talk about today. Hey, does the Old Testament count anymore for anything? Andy Stanley, the pastor from Atlanta, Georgia, well known. You know, he had a sermon, a controversial sermon, or book, I guess.
Several months ago,
and he was advocating that Christians should, was the word, Ray, unhinged?
Unhitched.
Unhitched.
We should get unhitched from the Old Testament.
Yes, well, we're going to talk about that today. Our guest coming up at the bottom of the hour is a literal Old Testament scholar. John Oswalt will be with us, Dr. John Oswalt. He is with the Wesley Biblical Seminary in Jackson, Mississippi. He's a professor there, and we're going to talk to him about that and other things coming up at the bottom of the hour. He's got a new book out called Called to Be Holy. So we're going to talk about that question I just posed. That was kind of a shocking thing to read from Andy Stanley, wasn't
it? Yeah, he got a lot of feedback from the evangelical community, none of it positive. Forget about the Old Testament, just live in the New Testament. And I'll tell you what, he took a lot of flack for that.
Yeah, he's just so much different than his dad, isn't he, Ray?
Well, you just...
It seems like it anyway.
You can't imagine Charles Stanley saying something like that. Mm-hmm. That it seems to me like about every year or so, Fred, that Andy Stanley will come up with some... This isn't the first strange or outrageous statement Andy Stanley has made, but this may be the most shocking. I mean, the Old Testament is what? 75% of the Bible.
Yeah.
Why would we want to become unhitched from 75% of the Word of God. It just, it doesn't make any sense to me.
You know, Jesus, when you read the Gospels, Jesus referred to the Old Testament.
Yes.
So if Jesus was telling his disciples of the day, you know, there are things you can learn, the prophet said this, then how any pastor could say, forget about the Old Testament? Jesus didn't.
Right.
Yeah, I didn't understand Andy Stanley's point, really, except to say it was he was downplaying, to say the least, the scriptures, because the scriptures are from Genesis to Revelation.
Yeah. Now, if he had said that we don't live by the law today,
right?
If you know that we don't adhere to the law as far as salvation, the Ten Commandments. That we don't adhere to the Ten Commandments for our salvation.
Well, who doesn't know that?
Right.
Right. Right.
If he had said that, then there would be no flack. But right. to say, let's forget about the Old Testament. Let's live in the New Testament today.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll talk to Dr. Oswalt about that coming up at the bottom of the hour. I do agree. Andy Stanley says something every other year. Or every year, or something that's provocative, to say the least. And hey, you know, he's learned from his. He grew up under his father's, but then he grew his own church there in Atlanta. I think it's the largest church in the north
of Atlanta. There, yeah.
So we'll talk to him. Well, not Andy Stanley. We'll talk to Dr. Oswalt about that in just a minute. Stanley Senior still preaching, isn't he, Ray?
Yeah, he sure is. You can hear him on TV. Sounds good. I mean, he's up in his 80s, and he sits on a stool when he preaches instead of roaming around the platform like he used to do. But otherwise, he's still going very strong.
Listen. Listen.
I'm talking to you. I'm talking to
you.
He
loves that word. Listen.
Yeah.
Listen. And he pointed his finger. Listen. Mm-hmm. Anyway, that's a lot of pastors have their signature.
Yeah,
you know, they're whatever they say or do that you recognize immediately. That's who it is. And for him, it's the word "listen." If you listen to him. All right, so a lot to talk about today, and we're going to get busy here. Fred, what's first up?
Well, we've talked about how the Obama Justice Department handled the Hillary Clinton email scandal, and. In the midst of telling that story, you may remember that in 2017, then FBI Director James Comey, the former FBI Director, testified before the House Intelligence Committee about a conversation that he had with the Attorney General Loretta Lynch during the Obama years in the midst of the Hillary Clinton email investigation. And James Comey testified under oath that then Attorney General Loretta Lynch, his boss at the time, instructed him, when you go and testify, do not call it an investigation. Call it a matter. Now, that's what he said. And if you need a reminder of exactly what he said, here's cut number 5 from 2017.
The Attorney General had directed me not to call it an investigation, but instead to call it a matter, which confused me and concerned me. But that was one of the bricks in the load that led me to conclude I have to step away from the department if we're to close this case credibly.
All right. So the development in this story today is yesterday, the ranking member of the House Judiciary Committee, Congressman Doug Collins, Republican from Georgia, released a transcript of Loretta Lynch. She was called in under oath, under testimony, released a transcript that she gave during her testimony in which she disputes what James Comey had to say. In fact, she claims when she heard what you just heard, she said, I was quite surprised by that. I did not, Lynch responded when asked if she had ever told Comey to call the investigation a matter. I have never instructed a witness as to what to say specifically. Never have. Never will. In the meeting that I had with the director, we were discussing how best to keep Congress informed of progress
and discussing requesting resources for the department overall. We were going to testify separately, and the concern that both of us had in the meeting that I was having with him in September of 2015 was how to have that discussion without stepping across the department policy of confirming or denying an investigation. So here's what I get from that. She knows they're going to have to testify before this committee. So they have a meeting. And in my mind, it was a meeting probably called by Loretta Lynch, let's get our story straight, because they're going to be questioning us separately. So here goes. Now, James Comey says she specifically told him, you just heard, do not call it an investigation, call it a matter. She denies that. She said it was just a discussion. No, it was a discussion. That discussion was, well, let's get our story straight here so we're not contradicting one another.
Who do you believe, Walker?
I don't know why James Comey would have said that if it weren't true. It doesn't really benefit
him. You're a fan of James Comey?
Yeah, right. You know, but what seems to be happening here is the first 2 years of the Donald Trump presidency, when Attorney General Jeff Sessions had distanced himself from any type of involvement in any investigation that had to do with anybody political, then all the anti-Trump people, James Comey, Loretta Lynch, Andrew McCabe, all of them have been constantly bashing Trump on the same talking points as the Democrat Party. Now that Attorney General Barr has opened investigations into their corruption, they're all turning on each other. And so they went from the same talking points day after day, bashing Trump, Russia collusion, to now James Comey said this.
Wasn't me. No, it wasn't me. It was him.
Exactly.
No, it wasn't me. It was her.
Exactly. So the reason they're doing this is because they're flustered.
Yes.
Because there's prosecutors asking them questions now.
Yes.
And somebody's going to go to jail, and they're trying to make sure it's not themselves.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
What do you think?
Well, in this case, you got to go with James Comey. I mean, whatever else we may have to say about his actions, as Walker points out, there's no reason for him to say that unless it's truthful. He's only hurting himself if he says, well, Loretta Lynch told me to do it and it didn't make sense to me. So just on the face of it, who's got the most to lose here? It's Loretta Lynch. She's the one who's got to cover her tracks. So in this case, and in this instance, I think Comey's telling the truth.
Yeah.
He did what he was told. He called it a matter.
Loretta Lynch was the attorney general for after Eric Holder for Barack Obama. And remember, she was the one, while attorney general, they met with Bill Clinton on the tarmac in the airport in Phoenix, was it?
Phoenix or Palm Springs.
Somewhere out there.
Yeah.
Anyway, so you had the Attorney General of the United States meeting with the husband of a key witness in a big, big scandal involving the federal government. And
yeah, but Tim, they were just talking about their grandkids.
Yeah.
That's all it was.
Well, you know what, though? She still didn't recuse herself, did she?
No, she did not.
She didn't even recuse herself. But what I'm saying is everybody in the world knows that's inappropriate behavior on the part of a Attorney General, and she didn't. She didn't recuse herself. If the shoe was on the other foot, maybe that's not the right metaphor, but if the Republican Attorney General, William Barr, had met with, Paul Manafort's wife on a tarmac for half an hour before, it'd have been, oh my gosh.
We'd never hear the end of it.
Yeah, the Democrats and the liberal media would have blown up the world. So this is going to be interesting, but I think that Loretta, this is me thinking, I think my opinion is that Loretta Lynch, the Attorney General, did tell James Comey to call it a matter, not an investigation, because you call it an investigation, it sounds like she did something wrong. That is, she, Hillary Clinton, when this is when I don't care if she did put her server involving State Department email in her bathroom to keep it from having oversight by the Congress. That's still just a matter. We're not investigating that. So it's, as you say, Walker, when you have a group of people in on something and then in on something that's wrong, And then the lights turned on. You know, everybody starts trying to protect themselves, right?
Mm-hmm.
The lights turned on or the heat is put applied, one or the other. I think the heat's being applied now. These folks see that there's potential jail time ahead for one or more of them. And so they're trying to get out there in front of it and say, I didn't do this, I didn't do that, he did that, she did that. You know what mm-hmm. I'm saying?
The Democrats were hoping that Mueller would come up and say there was collusion between the Trump camp
right.
and the Russians.
Right.
Yeah.
They didn't get that.
Right.
So now
swing and a miss.
You've got a new sheriff in town called William Barr, the attorney general, who says, now I want to take a look at how do we get to the point of calling for this
yeah.
investigation. They are scared to death because they know what the truth is.
Well, they were counting on Hillary Clinton winning.
Yes.
Yeah,
what
that's
they were
number one. First thing, yeah.
That's the first thing. They were almost certain that Hillary Clinton was going to win, and them covering up for her on this email scandal, they would have been rewarded,
mm-hmm.
you know, professionally, and who knows how otherwise.
Mm-hmm.
And the Clinton Foundation would still be raking in the millions, but she didn't win.
Mm-hmm.
And it shocked them, and then you had to have a plan B.
Yeah, I want to say something about President Trump's administration. They've had an excellent strategy on this, and that is we cooperate with the, as unjust as it is, we cooperate with the Robert Mueller investigation until he closes shop. He closed shop. They turned over a million documents, gave hundreds of interviews, over 1,000 hours of interviews in total. And
you mean the administration?
The administration did. Anyone that Mueller wanted to talk to, the president, even President Trump submitted answers under oath, which
yes.
Hillary Clinton did not do. So, but the strategy now is we're done.
Mm.
President Trump has said we're done with the Russia investigation.
Right.
No more testimonies, no more turning over documents. Robert Mueller had everything he needed,
right.
and he came to the conclusion that was innocent, speaking on behalf of President Trump here.
Yeah.
So that's brilliant because we've got to move on. You can't keep feeding the beast that is the Democrats because they're going to drag this thing into a trap.
They're just trying to paralyze the president.
Yeah.
But right. the Democrats, and I keep pounding away at this, the Democrats know they can believe they'll be successful in this false campaign of theirs because they have the media on their side. And Mark yeah. Levin, talk show host and author, he was interviewed on Fox and Friends this morning. And folks, you cannot underestimate when you have a political party in this country and you have the mainstream media in bed with them, not willing to challenge them, and a mainstream media that is treating the Republican Party like the enemy. They're
right.
treating William
right.
Barr, the Attorney General, right. like the. Have a listen to what Mark Levin had to say about all this morning. Cut number two.
Joe Biden gets no scrutiny. The President of the United States, the scrutiny is outrageous. Joe Biden will run. Nobody will interfere with his election. Donald Trump ran for president of the United States. The Obama administration interfered with his election. The Hillary Clinton campaign paid for a dossier to interfere with his election with the assistance of the DNC. And my focus is that's politics, but this is the problem. The press in this country. The greatest threat we have today to freedom of the press is the mass media. And there's a difference between freedom of the press, which was given to we the people, not CNN, not MSNBC and Comcast and Time Warner. It belongs to we the people, like the rest of the First Amendment of the Bill of Rights. They are destroying it from within. They have become a one-party press. You can't tell a difference between the Democrat Party agenda and CNN and MSNBC.
Well, he's right about that.
Yeah.
Oh, he's absolutely right, which goes to the recent polls, which show the trust in the media has been fairly low over the years, but it has sunk to all new lows. Look at the ratings for CNN.
Yeah.
They're in the bucket. They've got, the only thing that keeps them going
is... That's a good thing, that I think a lot of Americans are catching on to what Mark Levin's talking about right there.
You know, in the end, what people want is at least a semblance of fairness, right?
Yes,
we understand there's no such thing as perfect objectivity, but CNN and MSNBC and the major news networks have just thrown any semblance of objectivity
right.
out there. I mean, they're the anti-Trump lead forces in America. So I'm not surprised CNN's viewership is way down,
yeah, and
deservedly
Yeah, exactly. And with Fox, I would say Fox, Fox, I think they pretty much are fair and balanced. Now, they have opinion shows hosted by conservative hosts like MSNBC does with liberal hosts, Sean Hannity, Tucker Carlson, Laura Ingraham, so forth. But they also have critics of the president. Judge Napolitano has been critical recently. They had, you know, Shepard Smith can't stand President Trump.
Well, and they're doing these town halls for the the Democrat candidates.
You're going to see MSNBC do a town hall for President Trump? Not that he would be on there. But
and one thing I didn't like is Pete Buttigieg, if that's how you say his name. Nobody knows how to say his name. That's why they call him Mayor Pete, as if they're best friends. But Chris Wallace just let that candidate, Mayor Pete, just blast Fox News in front of Chris Wallace.
I know.
It's like, what? I mean, he was disrespecting all the hosts on Fox News, and Chris Wallace just said, "All right, well, let's move on to the next topic."
I didn't see Mayor Pete.
Yeah, it was baffling.
Fox Town Hall. You're listening to today's issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim with Walker, Fred, and Ray. Fred next story.
President Trump was in Pennsylvania yesterday. It's a must-win state. You know, Joe Biden pretty well launched his campaign to be the Democrat nominee there back a few weeks ago. And, Biden talks about, Scranton, Pennsylvania. It's like it's his hometown.
Right. Well, he is from Pennsylvania originally, right?
Well, he was born there.
Okay.
Yeah, but he left there a long, long time
ago. That's originally.
Yeah. Which Trump tried to make a point about that last night. But here's an example of political coverage of the mainstream media. One of the big issues right now is border security and what we're doing with all these folks entering the country illegally. President Trump is very, very strong on this, wants to build the wall, et cetera, et cetera. Well, one of Biden's criticism of the Trump administration is, sanctuary cities. They're just doing the right thing for these illegal immigrants. Well, listen, this is what the mainstream media should be doing. At least Fox, went back to 2007 when Biden was asked by reporters his stand about the federal government's relationship with sanctuary cities. All right, so that is going to be cut number four, Brent.
Senator Biden, would you allow these cities to ignore the federal law?
The reason the cities ignore the federal law is the fact that there is no funding at the federal level to provide for the kind of enforcement at a federal level you need. Part of the problem is you have to have a federal government that can enforce laws.
So, Senator Biden, yes or no, would you allow the cities to ignore the federal law?
No.
And this is not that long ago that Joe Biden had a different position on sanctuary cities than he appears to have now. He kind of has a reputation for changing his mind on issues or flip-flopping on issues. You know, he's changed his position on abortion, whether to redefine marriage, immigration issues, rule of law, any number of issues, he just kind of changes.
So there you have it. In 2007, Joe Biden was talking about being tough on sanctuary cities and telling them they would have to work with the federal government. Now you have the Trump administration being attacked for saying, and you've got candidates
saying
now saying
thing.
We want to do away with ICE.
Yeah, it's each person has to figure out when we're listening to these politicians and candidates. People change their mind over the course of a lifetime on a lot of topics. I know I have. So there's nothing inherently wrong with changing your mind when new facts become available or you become more educated on something or you're persuaded in one way or another. But what we got going on with Joe Biden right there, I think, is he's changed on so many issues that you see what's happening here. That is, he knows he's going to have to go far, far left, pretty much, to get the Democrat nomination, so he's willing to say anything.
Yep.
That's my view of Joe Biden. We'll be back in a moment. Stay with us.
On the next Today's Issues, we'll talk with Dr. John Oswalt, interim president of Wesley Biblical Seminary.
Our Christian faith can become simply a position. Yeah, Have you accepted Jesus? Oh yeah, got my ticket right here.
We'll also have news headlines and analysis from American Family News. Don't miss the next Today's Issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio and on Facebook.
Our Holy Land tour for March of 2020 is set. Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of American Family Association and American Family Radio. Last year, we sold out in August, and I expect us to do that again this year. There is such a high demand, especially among Christians in America, to see Israel, the land of the Bible. So we're going again in March on our annual trek. So I wanted to go ahead and let you know, if you want to sign up and register, get more information, whatever the case may be, if you want to go to our website, twholyland.com, twholyland.com, everything is there, twholyland.com. You can even print off a brochure from that website. It's going to be a wonderful time visiting Israel with brothers and sisters from across our country as we go to the Holy Land in March. So go ahead and get signed up now, twholyland.com.
Fox News Commentary with Todd Starnes.
Goodbye, Thomas Jefferson. That story coming up. Liberty University is preparing students to enter a competitive job market. They have a low student-to-professor ratio, a caring Christian faculty, and more than 550 programs of study, ranging from undergraduate certificates to doctoral degrees. As the largest Christian university in the world, Liberty continues to establish itself as both a leading liberal arts university and an institution dedicated to the Christian faith. Learn more at liberty.edu. That's liberty.edu. Mayor Pete Buttigieg says the names of prominent American heroes like Thomas Jefferson and Andrew Jackson should be removed from places of honor in our history. The mayor and Democrat presidential candidate was on Hugh Hewitt's radio show responding to a question about whether Jefferson-Jackson dinners should be renamed since both men were slaveholders. The mayor said he was not suggesting we blot Jefferson's name from the history books, but he comes mighty close. Now, this is what I call culture jihad, a leftist movement to destroy America by turning our history into rubble. My new book, Culture Jihad, How to Stop the Left from Killing a Nation, addresses this dangerous trend in politics and culture. Pete Buttigieg portrays himself as a folksy, aw shucks small-town mayor, but in reality, he's a radical leftist who wants to turn American values and traditions into a pile of rubble. I'm Todd Starnes.
That's your Fox News Commentary.
This is a Decency Minute. I'm Bill Johnson. Those who legally immigrate to the United States are required to be immunized against preventable diseases like mumps, measles, hepatitis B, etc. Obviously, there's no way of ensuring that those who enter illegally are free of those diseases. In fact, a chief patrol agent told Fox News that Customs and Border Protection is increasingly, quote, caring for more and more sick people because a lot of these aliens coming in are carrying contagious health conditions, things like chickenpox, scabies, tuberculosis, lice, unquote. The compressed conditions that migrants travel in are perfect for diseases like tuberculosis to thrive to the point that over 60% of TB cases are associated with immigrants. Illegal immigrants are often simply released, which means the disease can spread and those infected are less likely to receive treatment. Our leaders must find a solution which ensures the health and safety of their constituents. That is their primary responsibility. This is a Decency Minute. I'm Bill Johnson.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues here on American Family Radio. This is a live radio show that we're doing here in our AFR studios in Tupelo, Mississippi. And Dr. Ray Pritchard is co-hosting with us. There's four of us here, so quarter of a brain each, and we got a whole brain here. Ray's in Kansas City, Kansas, and so he joined us from there. It's raining and thundering and flooding where Ray is, and we certainly want to remember our friends in that part of the country where these storms are hitting all over. What, Oklahoma, Arkansas, Missouri? Okay.
All the way Kansas. Up that tornado alley up there, and that hits this
this time of the year. I tell you what, I guess you learn to live with that kind of thing.
Well,
the one piece of good news so far, guys, is that there are no reports of fatalities so far. So thank the Lord for that.
Well, you heard the advertisement a couple of minutes ago, folks, for our March Holy Land Tour, March 2020 Holy Land Tour. And so if you want more information on that, we're already getting people signed up. Had a tremendous response last year, and if early signs are any indication, we're going to have we'll be full by August or September for the March trip. That's how in demand these tours of Israel are now. And I have all the answers for why it's not sudden. There's always been an interest among Christians to go to Israel, but maybe it's the baby boomers that are retiring and they're checking off their bucket list. I don't know. But I'm just saying, if you want to go, you need to be looking at, you need to check out our tour. Go to twholyland.com for all the information there. twholyland.com to check out either our tour to Israel. There are other tours that are good too. You check those out. But if you want to compare what we do and the dates we're going and the price we give, go to our website, twholyland.com. Well, our guest now is Dr. John Oswalt. He is interim president of Wesley Biblical Seminary in Jackson, Mississippi. Of course, they have a weekend show and have here a Bible teaching program here on AFR for a long time. And you've heard spots that we've aired here on AFR for Wesley Biblical Seminary. And Dr. Oswalt is a research professor of Old Testament there. He's also the author of a new book called Called to be Holy, A Biblical Perspective. Dr. Oswalt, this is Tim Wildman. Thanks for being on with us.
Hi, Tim.
How are you, sir?
I'm very well.
You in Jackson today?
I am.
Hey, tell us, before we get into the variety of topics here, talk about Wesley Biblical Seminary.
Wesley Biblical Seminary has existed since 1974, and its particular niche is that it combines a deep and passionate commitment to the authority of Scripture, to the proclamation that it is possible through the Holy Spirit to live a Christ-like life. And it's those two things coupled together that really are what we're about. We're interested in making disciples.
And how can people find out more information?
They can go to our website at www.wbs.edu.
What do most people graduate from Wesley Biblical Seminary do?
A variety of things. Most of them go into the pastoral ministry, but we've got people on seven continents, I should say six, not Antarctica, and 18 different countries. So we have a strong missions component as well.
Okay, I want to ask you, you are a Old Testament professor.
Yes.
And a research professor of the Old Testament. How do you get that degree, by the way? How many years do you have to study? How many theses do you have to write to earn that?
Well, basically, you have to write one. You have to be a doctoral graduate, and then you have to write other books on the Old Testament, and somebody has to say, okay, we want to appoint you to not only a teaching position, but a research position as well.
All right, Andy Stanley, the well-known megachurch pastor in Atlanta, the son of... Charles Stanley, well-known pastor in Atlanta First Baptist Church. A few months ago, he got into some hot water with a lot of Christians because he made the statement. I'll just quote him here so I don't mischaracterize what he said, because a lot of times we do that and it's not fair. Here's what he said in May of 2018, according to the CBN News, that's what I'm reading from. He said, quote, Peter, James, Paul elected to unhitch the Christian faith from their Jewish scriptures, and my friends, we must as well, end of quote. Do we need to unhitch the Christian faith from the Old Testament, John?
We surely do not. He doesn't seem to have read his church history. In the 200s, a very brilliant, gifted preacher said much the same thing, a guy named Marcion. And it took the church about 2 days to show him the door. Because, in fact, the Old Testament is the foundation of the New Testament. If you want to know why Jesus came and what that's all about, you have to read the Old Testament. And it's in the Old Testament that we really see who God is, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Without the Old Testament, you end up very commonly with a little friendly God who lives under your bed to answer your prayers and say, oh, that's all right, honey. And in fact, for that kind of a God, you don't need a cross. So he's absolutely wrong.
Dr. Oswald, I'd like to ask you about something you mentioned just at the very beginning. When you talked about the authority of Scripture, we hear that thrown around a lot. When you talk about the authority of Scripture, I want to know two things. Number one, what do you mean when you say that, and why is that so important, so vital today?
Thanks. You can be my straight man anytime. The Bible is the Word of God. The Creator of the world has revealed Himself to us, why we're made, what the point of our existence is, and it's there in the written Scriptures that we know who we are and what life is about. And so when I talk about the authority of Scripture, I'm saying this is the final word on us humans and the nature of reality and what's going on. If you want to know the answer to those questions, it's to the Bible that you must go. And that means that the Bible then, I like the words that the Lausanne Convention developed a number of years ago, it is without error in all that it affirms. Now, that some people say, well, that's kind of a weasel word. What do you mean affirm? But a point is, what is the Bible saying? What is it demanding that we believe and commit ourselves to? And it's without error. It will indeed lead us infallibly to God and to an understanding of reality. Now, its primary purpose is not to teach us science. Its primary purpose is not to teach us geography or all those things. But God did reveal Himself in time and space. And when that is connected to theological claims, those claims are vital. So it's the very Word of God. Sometimes in the morning when I'm having my devotions, I pick up the Bible and I think, my land, this is the book of all books.
Well, you're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. If you want to send us an email, you can do so at comments@afr.net, comments@afr.net. We do live video stream the show and post the stories that we're talking about on our Facebook page. Go to Facebook, type in Today's Issues. We also live video stream on our YouTube page for Today's Issues. Dr. John Oswalt from Wesley Biblical Seminary in Jackson, Mississippi is our guest. Now, your book is called, is it your newest book?
No, it isn't. It's I actually published that in 1999, but it's a book that has continued to sell across the years, and the title is Called to Be Holy, A Biblical Perspective.
What does that mean?
What it means is the idea that we should share the character of God, and that's what holy means. Holy doesn't mean that you wear certain kind of clothes or you look cross-eyed at this or that or the other. Holy means to share the character of God. And that's God's goal for us from the beginning. That's what God wants. He wants His people to share His character, to love like He loves, to have integrity like He has integrity, to be faithful as he is faithful. That's what he wants. And what I'm trying to show is that that's not just sort of an add-on. Well, you accept Christ, and then if you want to share the character of God, okay. No. We accept Christ as the opening to that goal of sharing Christ's life. And in the book, I'm trying to show that that really is, from beginning to end, what it is all about. And that, in my judgment, that's why in some ways the evangelical church is in trouble in the United States, is because we've forgotten that. We've said, oh, I got saved, so I'm just going to sit here at the bus stop and wait till the bus comes to take me to heaven. No, you got saved so that now Christ can live in you and transform you and make you different from the lost world around you.
Amen. Hey, one other question. I would like to have you back on. We'll reschedule you or schedule you again for another interview because there's a lot more I want to ask you about.
I'd love to do that.
Okay, that we don't necessarily have time for today. But I see here in your bio that you were a member of the New International Version translation team, right?
Yep.
When was that, and what did you do?
Okay, that one was years ago. They started to do the NIV in the 70s and finally produced the final edition in 84, and then they updated it again in 2011. They tried very hard to get a wide variety of people. Some translations are done by just one person, and that's pretty dangerous. And so they started out with two people doing a fresh translation from the Hebrew or the Greek. Their work was passed to a committee of five that was different with every book, called the Intermediate Committee, and their job was to be sure that the translation was accurate. Then their work was passed to another committee of five called the General Committee, and their responsibility was try to be sure that it really communicates in English what's there. And then finally, all of it went to a standard committee of 22 people called the Committee on Bible Translation. I served on several different intermediate and general committees.
Several of those committees?
Yeah.
Would they pay you well?
Not very well. Okay. But they covered our expenses, and it was a joy to sit down with five other guys who loved the Word and bang our heads on together and say, well, this is what God is saying. And so that was good.
I mentioned your book, Call to Be Holy, A Biblical Perspective, that you talked about earlier. How can people get that if they want to buy that?
Amazon. That's okay. Probably the easiest way.
Okay.
And it's also available from the publisher Warner Press in Anderson, Indiana.
Okay. Well, listen, Dr. Oswalt, thank you so much for being on with us. We look forward to another visit sometime soon.
That'd be great. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Folks, we were talking right there to a real live Old Testament scholar. You know, you've heard about him. Well, people always say, I'm not an Old Testament scholar. He is an Old Testament scholar, Dr. John Oswalt from the Wesley Biblical Seminary in Jackson, Mississippi. What do you think about what he...
He was terrific.
Yeah.
And, you know, I love seminary and seminaries and seminary presidents, but a lot of them are hard to understand. He was as clear and as strong and as biblical as any seminary president I have ever heard. His answer on the Old Testament and on the authority of the Bible, it's just fantastic. What a great man to lead
Absolutely.
That seminary.
Absolutely. And we look forward to talking to him again real soon. You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. You know, with what Andy Stanley said, I quoted him. It was a direct quote, which got him into some hot water with people when he said, Andy Stanley said, Peter, James, Paul elected, I'm quoting him, Peter, James, Paul elected to unhitch the Christian faith from their Jewish scriptures, and my friends, we must as well. That's the quote that I guess started it off for Andy Stanley. And then he had to come back, Andy Stanley, and say, I never suggested we unhitch from a passage of Scripture or a specific biblical imperative, end of quote. With all due respect to Andy Stanley, when you have to continuously say, no, but what I really meant was, then you're a poor communicator. Either that or you meant to be provocative for the sake of it, which one or the other. So I think the criticism that Andy Stanley got over this, and I'm sure he's a wonderful guy, and we could hang out and have a good time, and I know he loves the Lord. I'm not questioning that, Ray. I'm just saying that sometimes these guys, especially these pastors that are younger, they just get a little too cute.
Well, it ought to be obvious to any Christian that we don't want to unhitch ourselves
right.
from 75% of the Bible. How are you going to understand where we came from if you don't know the book of Genesis? How are you going to understand what the cross meant if you can't read or don't think about Isaiah 53? How are you going to understand God's plan for the future if you don't read the book of Daniel, the book of Zechariah? I mean, how are you going to know how to worship if you don't read the book of Psalms? We could go on and on.
Yeah, his statement, he blew it on this one. If he meant to say, as Fred said earlier, that we as Christians are not under the old covenant any longer, there's a new covenant. Well, there is a difference between the old covenant and the new covenant. But, Ray, when he goes on to say, Andy Stanley does, said we don't have to obey the Ten Commandments. No, he says the Ten Commandments are from the old covenant, he says.
Nine of the Ten Commandments are repeated in the New Testament.
Okay, there you go.
Directly applied to New Testament believers.
There
you go.
So,
good night.
Anyway, you're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on AFR, where we believe the Holy Bible is the Word of God, and it's inerrant, which means without error. It's historically true.
Yep.
And it is God-breathed. And
what did he say,
Genesis,
Peter, James, and John? Did he say Peter, James,
That's what Andy Stanley said.
You know, someday when Andy Stanley gets to heaven,
right?
I think Peter, James, or John will say, come over here, son.
Let's sit down and have a
talk. You know,
you
were speaking for me back there in 2018?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, chapter and verse, Andy.
Okay. Anyway, you're listening to Today's Issues on AFR. Next story, Fred.
Oh, back to politics.
Yeah. Good.
You know, I keep going back to the mantra of Barack Obama, change the country, change the world. I think that mantra, now that he's out of office, is continuing through a lot, if not all, of the Democrat candidates for president. One of those candidates is Kirsten Gillibrand.
Mm-hmm.
All right? I believe that Barack Obama, among the changes that he wanted to make, was basically a country with no borders. Everybody,
now,
come
she's
on.
A senator from New York State, right?
Correct, okay. Correct, yes. Well, she was interviewed by CBS's Margaret Brennan recently, talking about, and she was asked, the senator, Gillibrand, what would you do with the illegals? It's a big issue right now, okay? Democrats keep attacking Trump over this. What would you do with illegals? Okay, here's a bit of that exchange.
As president of the United States, I wouldn't use the detention system at all.
Homeland Security, though, is saying hundreds of thousands of people are crossing the border, and they need to go somewhere before their asylum claims are actually heard. What would you do with them?
They don't need to be incarcerated. They can, if they're given a lawyer and given a process, they will follow it.
She's arguing that anybody from anywhere in the world must be allowed into the United States, awarded a publicly financed lawyer, given a free place to live along with free health care and schools, all of which you pay for, and allowed to stay indefinitely unless they lose a court case that, by the way, they will definitely show up for. That's her core assumption.
Wow.
Now,
that was Tucker Carlson.
Tucker Carlson.
Commenting on the senator. So she, you know, rarely do you hear this. She's just flat out for no borders.
Mm-hmm.
Just y'all
right.
come.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And Ray, what's, I guess she's ditching passports, right?
I mean, That's the end line. Maybe she wouldn't say that, but that's where it all ends up. Why would you need passports if anybody can go
right.
anywhere mm-hmm. at any time?
Right. Just go to JFK and say, you know, I'm coming into America. Well, right. we need no more passports. Need that's what she's saying.
Yeah.
She's saying open borders.
Yep.
And the Beto O'Rourke, he's
yes.
for basically open borders.
Tear down the walls.
So I guess I'm a little surprised that the Democrats are being so open about this now to, I guess, pun intended right there, open borders, Walker. But
yeah.
but I guess in the race to see who can be more of a communist,
right?
You know, so they can win the Democrat
primary. Yeah.
I say communist, socialist, many of the ideas expressed by the Democrats are communist. They are. Now, I'm not saying they're for a police state necessarily, although that's where that leads to.
Yes.
They wouldn't say that,
right.
but.
Yeah, it seems like the Democrats, and I don't know how they have any support, but they do. They have people who like this ideology.
Half of our fellow citizens agree with them.
Yeah,
it's shocking.
The base, their base, which is radical left, probably makes up 30 or 40% of the voting.
In our country?
Yeah, and then you have people in the middle who also vote for them. But it seems like the Democrats are more focused on attacking America and everything about America
yes.
than concerned about any other problems in the world.
Right.
That you have China, you have North Korea, you have Iran, you got Venezuela. I mean, you got all these problems in the world, and these politicians are more focused on attacking America and how can I undermine America. And that's what this does. I mean, this is open borders, and, you know, I don't want to hear people say, well, they're just trying to appeal to their base. No, I genuinely think you elect these folks into the White House.
Yeah.
Maybe not Biden, but some of these far lefties like Bernie Sanders, you put them in the White House, they will actually do some of this stuff.
Oh, yes.
No doubt. That mm-hmm. they're bent on revenge.
I think, right, where do you think Biden's going to go in this? Because he was more moderate in his career than...
You know, I think the only thing he can do is go to the left.
Right.
Because it's odd to think of Joe Biden as a Democrat moderate, right? That's how upside down the world has gotten.
That's how far left the Democrats are. When Biden's yeah. called a moderate, that shows right. you how far they are.
He's got to follow the trend, or he cannot win the nomination. So I think you're going to. I mean, he's already. You know, he was a supporter of the Hyde Amendment years ago. Now he's come out against that. I mean, he's jettisoned opinions that he's had over the mm-hmm. years. Now he's got to keep up with the base of his party if he wants to get the nomination. So he's going to go further left. He has to.
Yeah, I think the philosophy is right now in the Democratic Party, which is why Biden is polling so high, is that they're hoping to catch the more moderate levels of the Democratic Party. But I would, if I was a betting man, dollars to donuts, he will pick a far left person to be on the ticket with him. I mean, Kamala Harris has already been mentioned, and she is far, far left. But he'll just pick one of that batch of, 22, 23 others that are in the race right now to catch. Bernie Sanders, I don't think, is going to win the nomination. But they need to catch that part of the party, that 40% of Democrats who really believe in this very radical agenda.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's their strategy heading into 2020.
Well, it's really stunning to see how many of our fellow Americans agree with socialism.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Huh?
Poll out today, 4 in 10.
Full out
socialism.
Yep. 4 in 10 of our fellow Americans. I think this is the net result of basically an educational system.
You're exactly right.
A secular humanist educational system over decades.
Yes.
Has led us to the and other reasons, but we'll be back in a minute. Stay with us.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.